And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, November the 2nd, 2019. It is Season 13, Episode 39, and I'm Scott.
I'm Sarah.
And that's all you got. That's it. RJ's out of town. He's at a convention. Matt's at work, but he is going to join us in the second hour, I believe. We're going to see how well this camera thing that we've got here changes on the fly, because I've got him prepared, I've got him set up, but he's not here, so we'll see how it all goes. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. Get this out of the way real quick and tell you that we're on episode number 582 of our whole career, the whole thing, 582. What else? If you want to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. Yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. You can find us on Twitter, InGameChat. You can find us on Facebook, InGameChat. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on the cam. We've got twitch.tv. Go there. You can watch us. You can see me. You can see Sarah. You can see our logo. And you can also find out how to get in touch with us. Just go to ingamechat.net. You'll find out everything you need to know. And join in the chat room live while we broadcast there. So, Nate has perfect. Nate has a perfectly valid excuse, and I don't know. I don't know how much he wants to talk about it, but he has a perfectly valid excuse. I will say family emergency, but I will tell you that everything is okay. So, everything is fine, but. He may be back next week, and if he is and wants to talk about it, he's more than welcome to. I have no idea. That is on him. But yeah, he's fine. His family's fine. But, yeah. So, complete legitimate excuse for not being here. Matt has no excuse for not being here. Actually, he does. I just don't like it. It's work, but I don't know. I call it work for all the wrong reasons, maybe. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. He told you about his work, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, welcome to the show. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
How are you? How have you been? I haven't talked to you. I've talked to you, but I mean, you know, we haven't had you in here. When was the last time you were here? You would know better than I would.
Oh, gosh. It's been months and months. Maybe right. Early summer?
Really? I don't remember it being... I thought it was even further back than
that. It might have been in the spring.
Yeah.
I know I've been here this year, though, which is not saying a lot. We don't have a lot left.
Yeah, right. Like, the easiest way I could do is go through all the different outlines that I've made of the shows and stuff and then check each one to see who I sent it to.
Yes.
And if it's got your name on it, then I'm like, oh, there she is. So, well, you showed up unplanned one time, right? Or no?
Not this year. Last year I did.
Yeah. It's like, oh, hey, you're coming. That's great.
Yes.
Yeah. No. Anyway, welcome. It's always good to have you. How's things been in the months and months and months since we've spoken with you?
Things have been pretty good. Had my own little family emergency in the spring.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think E3 was about right. Lethal migraine. So have been processing a lot of that. And then work and lots of D&D. So old school gaming has kept me from talking about.
I've hit you up a few times like, hey, you want to come to the show? Nah, I got D&D this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been doing a lot of that. It's keeping me from playing these newfangled moving games.
Which is more legit than Matt's excuse. having D&D is more legit than Matt's excuse.
I am at least teaching D&D to small children. So
are you?
I am.
That's interesting.
So
the thought of me teaching D&D to small children is the problem, because there's no way I should be doing that. But so what do you teach? Like, what do you teach in that aspect?
Character building, mechanics, improv, teamwork. For those who don't know, I work at a school. So I have access to other people's children to experiment on. And so we have an after-school group that meets and does all the sort of mechanics. And then on Saturdays, about once a month, we try to play a game because their attention spans are not up for.
What are the ages we're talking about?
I've got first graders through sixth graders.
Okay.
So depending on which mix I have to.
You're teaching them fantasy and dark arts, I see. Okay.
I am. As S.T.M. Fuller says, she's a witch. That is correct. I am.
Exactly. It's a realm of Satan.
I mean, you have known me for a while, so that's not news to anybody who's seen me on this show.
For those of you who just keep your radio on for background noise and listen to this station all the time and suddenly come across this, it's absolutely harmless. Don't worry about it.
Yes.
But yeah, so, no, that's really cool. I mean, do they have an eagerness to learn that? Or
yes.
Do they like, hey, when can we play the electronic version of this thing you're talking about?
No, they love the tabletop.
Okay.
They really want me to get the minis. They love the dice. Because it's all new to them. Like, they have video games. That's old mm-hmm. hat. Sorry, Lethal Migraine is distracting me. So they like the old school stuff.
Okay.
So I actually just backed a Kickstarter entirely so I would have more minis for them.
Oh, are they painting?
We have not gotten into painting yet. The one I did was the skinny minis. So it's kind of like Shrinky Dinks. It's little flat things that pop into a stand, but it means I can afford and transport a lot more figures than if I was doing the larger plastic.
You're breaking them into their addiction realm.
Yes.
At a young age.
You know,
if you start bringing minis into it. The way that I know some people, and when I say some people, I'm mainly speaking of a guy by the name of Jeremy, who lives, I think, in Washington, who just paints figures all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Paints and paints and paints and paints and paints. It's all he talks about. Painting his figures. I'm not going to paint any more figures. I got more figures I got to paint. Then he picks up more figures to paint.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to get any new figures until I've painted the ones I have is the other version of my, oh, I'm not going to get any more books until I've read what I've got.
Read what I've got. Right. Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to buy any more games on Steam until I've played what I've got. But
there
that doesn't work. Yeah, painting minifigs. I did that for a little bit at PAX. One of the PAXs had a mm-hmm. area where it's like, hey, you can come in and paint. It was absolutely free. They gave you everything you needed.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they gave you everything you needed. You had a minifigure. They had plenty of those. And then they had paints and brushes and everything else. And so, yeah, you can just sit down and paint if you want to. And I did. And I sat there and I just, and I'm sure there's more to it because there was nobody there to like,
mm-hmm.
tell us, you know, how to really dive into that, because I'm sure there's a level much deeper than what I was doing for painting these things. My problem was is that I didn't care. That's the thing. Like, I didn't care about what I was painting. The figure they gave me, I had no idea who it was, what it was. I didn't know anything about it, which, I mean, for most people would say, well, good, blank canvas, do what you want with it. But for me, it was like, yeah, but I don't care. So it's like, here, I painted the whole thing red. There you go. It's a red minifigure. I don't care. But if you give me something, I don't know, I guess it possibly goes back to maybe coloring books. If you get a coloring book on a subject you want to color in,
mm-hmm.
if you give me a coloring book on, what is something that absolutely bores me to death? Matt's job. I will have no interest in it whatsoever. I'm just saying, if the subject of what I am creatively doing does not interest me, much like a video game, if a video game doesn't hold my mm-hmm. attention, I will move on to something else that does. So if painting a minifig does not hold my attention, I will find something that does. If you gave me something that was, it doesn't matter, I don't know, but something from a character that I knew, that I know from a thing that I would know, doesn't matter what it is.
So if we get you a full set of Destiny minifigs?
That's not bad. That's not a bad idea.
There are some awesome Game of Thrones sets, because they've done Game of Thrones tabletop war play.
Mm-hmm.
Tabletop war gaming. There we go. And they're beautiful figures for that. That is a much deeper level than
I mean,
than
you've
I get into.
Seen the way people can get creative with the shaders in Destiny and the way that they can paint their characters in the game itself. So yeah, if you give me a don't make it a minifig, make it something a little bit larger than a minifig, I suppose. Something, and then I could paint that, you know, and call it, that's my guardian, and I've painted this and I've done this and that sort of thing. So it's not a bad idea. That's a great way to put that. Because I was reaching for, like, I don't know, what could they possibly give me? And I don't know why I wasn't thinking of Destiny. I played it this morning before I got here. So, Festival of the Lost is going on.
Yes, it is indeed.
You've jumped in there on that?
Of course.
Are you on, where are you playing?
I am still mostly on Xbox.
Because we've got our cross-save stuff
now. We've got cross-save. I have some stuff ready to go on PS4. I just need to find somebody to play with.
Okay.
So.
Well, RJ's on PS4.
Yeah.
I have cross-save enabled on my PC to go either PS4 or Xbox. So I can do that.
You can come to the dark Xbox side with me.
I know. I can go over there. Now, you guys are doing great, though, because, you know, we still our clan is doing fantastic.
Yes.
We're hitting our limit every single week of how far we can do the clan. We're almost done, actually. When we hit this one, I think next week we'll get us to the end of the clan upgrades.
Oh, nice.
Because we're halfway through 5.
Right.
And we can't go any further because it's capped.
Mm-hmm.
So we're stuck there. And so we're halfway through 5. And the limit is 6. So once we finish that, I think we're done.
Yeah.
For the season, anyway. But Festival of the Lost is going on. I enjoyed... Parts of it seems like, oh, they're just recycling it again. But I have to say, they have done a much better job at decorating the public space.
Yes, I love the decorations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love this iteration of the, like, specific game.
The Haunted Forest?
Yeah, where it's just the waves, and then you fight the boss on the timer. It's too long.
Oh.
I think the timer is, like, 15 minutes.
You say it's too long, but it's so... The way they've got it set up, if you can clear 9 branches, you get pinnacle gear, which is like really top level gear. Clearing 9 branches is very tough to do.
And I think if we had ever gotten close to actually doing that, that would be fine. But we're not.
Okay.
And so it's like, all right, really another one? Okay.
Here's your tip for you. And you may already know this. I don't know who you're running with. Or what do you play? Are you a warlock?
I'm a warlock.
Okay, you're a warlock.
That's my primary.
You're going to want to run Well of Radiance.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to want to have, if you've got the exotic that gives you super back when people kill while in the well, put that on. For your mask, the mods that you want, the main mod you want is the air superiority mask, whatever it's called.
Okay.
It's the one that makes you invincible while airborne.
Oh, nice.
It's now, the description says you take less damage while airborne. What that actually means, you cannot get hurt while you are in the air. Seriously.
Interesting.
Big old dude with the axe who's invulnerable and comes to slam. If you are just a little bit into the air when he slams, you are perfectly fine.
You are
perfectly fine. So your whole team should be running that. And so if you are you doing this with a group or are you doing this with Rand?
Just with... Drew and I go in as a fire team, and then we get a random third.
Okay, so what does Drew play?
Yes, it depends on the day. Okay. Usually he pairs up his Titan, but sometimes we run double Warlock. It just kind of depends on what all we're doing.
Titan can go smash if he wants to. It's fine. Don't run bubble if he's a Titan. Run bubble.
Yeah.
If you've got a Hunter, he needs to run Tether. If you've got another Warlock, then decide among you who wants to run...
The well.
Void Bomb or well.
Yeah.
And then you should be good.
Yeah, I went in with Nova Bomb last time.
Yeah.
But because of my schedule, I haven't gotten to run it very many times yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't, like, figured out our strategy
yet. Yeah, if you have a grenade launcher with spike grenades, that's always good to have. If you've, I don't know if you've got Recluse. Probably not, but Recluse is a fantastic gun.
I do not.
Yeah, yes. You can only get it in PvP and... I cheesed it to get it. So. we worked that. If you ever get a PC that runs well and you can cross jump over, man, we'll get you so much stuff that then you can jump back on your Xbox and do your thing with. But man, we'd help you out tons. So
yeah, building the PC is still on the schedule. It just keeps having to get bumped for other things.
Yeah, but as far as Festival of Lost, they've done a great job at decorating. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the decorations.
Beautiful.
Are you playing, are you currently doing the Box of Raisins quest?
Yes.
Okay, cool. The end of that quest is really nice, especially the dialogue from Eris is a little strange, but it's good.
I mean, it's Eris.
I know, right? She has this really horrible outlook on things.
I mean, she's like Eeyore if Eeyore had been, you know, tortured by space zombies.
Right? Yeah. Like, she's Eeyore on, like, the level of, I don't know.
Eeyore on LSD.
Some, not even LSD, man. I'm thinking of, like, 90s Smashing Pumpkins fans.
Ouch. I resemble that remark.
But it's, but it is, everything is just the worst for her. So, which as it should be, she has a horrible backstory.
She does.
But yeah, like I said, I enjoy the decorations. They did a fantastic job decorating the hub and everything else. Mm-hmm. They added so much stuff. What the weird part is, while it fits for right now, this thing runs for 3 weeks.
Yes.
3 weeks into November, this stuff is still going to be around.
Right, but it's Nightmare Before Christmas season.
So I understand. I understand
it. It's Nightmare Before Christmas season from now until New Year's Day.
I don't think
so. It's perfectly.
I don't think
that's perfectly normal.
I don't think it should change just for the fact that I wish they could have done it earlier.
Yeah, but we had everything's kind of weird and compressed because
of the launch. Yeah, the launch in October has kind of delayed a lot of stuff. So yeah,
because I'm also assuming that the. Altars of Sorrow are not Festival of the Lost specific. I'm
no, it's
that's
not. That's new, brand new. Yeah. It's something
ongoing,
that they've.
But.
Yeah. And it's something that you're going to see for a little bit. I don't know if that's the last one. Probably not, because I think we'll have a season change before the end of the year. Will we have season.
It's going to cut it close if we do.
They haven't put out a roadmap for Destiny yet as far as what we can expect. But I don't know. If they do a season change before the end of the year, then yeah, we're going to get some new content. But the only other stuff I can think of that we've got left is with the Dawning, the Christmas event, basically, is what they'll do later on. And then they'll take time off and we won't hear from them again until, God, I don't know when. February will pop up and they'll do the Crimson Days again. It's all seasonal stuff.
I missed that last year.
Did you?
I did.
Why?
There was family stuff.
Oh, okay. It didn't last long.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be back as well. So anyway, talking Destiny stuff. I think we're done though because that's really. I ran the raid for the first time mm-hmm. on Monday night. The new raid, that was fun. It can go a lot quicker than the 5 hours I put into it. But and hopefully future playthroughs will go a lot quicker than the 5 hours I put into it. And me and Random and Rogue Hunter, we ran the dungeon, mm-hmm. The new dungeon that launched.
I haven't done that yet.
Yeah, we ran that on Friday, which was interesting. It was hard to figure out like the map and where to go and all this mm-hmm. stuff. And it was difficult at times, but that's something I could see running on a weekly schedule.
Okay.
At a pretty good pace. Now that you know where to go, and the more people who start doing it and know where to go,
right.
You can do those like quick hits. People are soloing the thing, which is ridiculous. But, yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, I know Lethal Migraine loves us talking about some Destiny. That's all he tunes into. Oh, Destiny. So, yeah.
I am excited. I finally got Wishender, which
the bow,
which we've been chipping away at.
Yeah, you had to go through the
trying to figure out
Shattered Throne for that. You had to do a couple of things in Shattered Throne for that. Mm-hmm. It was really ridiculous.
You have to run Shattered Throne, go do something else, come back and run it again,
and then carry all the orbs.
Yeah.
And do the orb thing, and then drop your coins,
yep.
And then get your thing. No.
So, but I finally have that, and now I feel like a little Lord of the Rings princess running around with my giant, beautiful bow.
Yeah.
It makes me happy.
Best part is, if you're a hunter, there's a exotic arm piece that lets you hold bows infinitely as far as the draw.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. You can hold the draw infinitely. It doesn't waver, so... Anyway, we're going to take a break because it's about that time. We have got fantastic music all throughout here, brand new music. I'm not going by a composer on this one. We've been, for an entire month, we playing nothing but music for Halloween season, that sort of thing, scary game music. But now we've missed a lot of releases in the month of October, so I'm kind of going back and grabbing some of those. So this is one that was released, I think, sometime in October. It's called Indivisible, and the name of the track is called Power of the Third Eye. Sounds like we're talking D&D stuff with Sarah and the
yes,
kitties again. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music we could have used for Halloween, but I don't even know. I guess it could work. We'll probably use it next year. This comes from the remastered version of Medieval on the PS4. With, like, Skeleton Head, Knight Guy, I don't know what his name is, because I've never played the game. But yeah, that's what it's from. So we'll probably use that next year. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Let's go to the phones real quick. Talk to Chris. Hey, Chris.
What's out? What's going on, y'all?
Not a lot. What's going on with you, man?
Well, kind of happy about some of the couple other news about a couple of the new games coming out. You know, Death Stranding. It's kind of interesting to find out what it was going to be about and how it was going to play. But from what I've read and everything, you know, it may not appeal to everybody, but my nature wanting to go out there and build things and, you know, where everybody else supposedly can come across your buildings and also help you finish them or add on to it sounds particularly, you know, interesting to me. And then the news from Blizzard yesterday, again, you know, they've got my money tied up in their future release whenever
yeah.
it comes out.
We're going to talk about Blizzard. Sure, we'll talk about Death Stranding, I guess. I don't know. Do you have any interest in playing that?
Not really.
Well, you've got a PS4 now. You can
play.
Yes.
PS4.
And I'll gauge what Matt's interested in. The only person I know out of all of us who is really interested in that game, and that is Nate. And of course, he's not here to talk about it. But the more that game, when it was first shown, I was like, oh, this looks interesting. I can't wait to see more. And I started getting to see more. I said, okay, this is a little weird. I don't understand what they're talking about. I don't understand what this is. But that's fine. Originality, that's good. I like that. There's a point when originality...
yeah.
There's a point where originality, I think, steps into... not farce, but...
absurdity?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Okay, then.
Right, you know,
there may be a reason nobody's done this.
I am on the train of, not being excited about Death Stranding. You know, Matt and I had this argument. I think that even though it was strange and weird and unusual, that it's fine because that's creativeness. That's new, and new is always good. in video games, because you can, you know, it holds the potential to open up something that is amazing and great and wonderful. That's why the best place to be at PAX is on the indie booth, because you discover so many new things. But from what I understand and from what I've seen, this thing just does not hold my attention. It's like a minifig from something I am not aware of, and I just look at it and say, okay, what do I do with this? And that's exactly the way I would look at it. I don't know. I really haven't read reviews as much as I've just looked at what the scores are, or the Metacritic reviews and that sort of thing. Just kind of looked at numbers. I haven't really gone in depth to read them.
And speaking of that, I was just watching one of the other YouTubers, Review Tech USA, you know, just posted one just maybe half an hour, you know, recently, just a few, not too long ago. And he was going over the Metacritic reviews, which, you know, he would look at the numbers, but the review they gave wasn't really equal to what the number that they gave.
In other words, the words they wrote didn't actually match the score they gave. I understand that. I completely understand that. And honestly, I think it's this, what is the word for it? There's a word for...
They don't want to criticize his work because of who he is?
Not necessarily, but in a sense, and that hero worship, I think is the word I was looking for. The terminology, hero worship, it's Kojima, and this is him completely untethered. This is him without anybody saying, "Hey, maybe hold back on that one. Maybe go in a different direction." He's got nobody. He's got no suits. Mm-hmm. He's got no nothing. He's got no corporate. He's got nothing tying him down. It's nothing but you do what you want, and we will put it out there. We will make your vision, and we will release it into the world. And he has no reins holding him back whatsoever. And this is what you get. And I'm not saying it's bad. I don't know. I haven't even played it.
Yeah, from what I've seen and all, you're pretty much alone by yourself most of the time, and that takes forever, and you're trekking from one location to the other location, you know, like making deliveries, which, yeah, may be fine and everything, and you're having to figure out how to get through this terrain and everything, but all the other concepts that I read about, you know, being able to build different structures and people can add on to it and then gather resources and stuff, you know. You know, that part seems interesting to me, but, you know, we'll just have to wait and see how it all turns out.
Yeah. Well, I guess, are you going to be picking it up and playing it? Are you going to try it?
Yeah, I've got the collector's edition reserved, so, yeah.
Is that the one that comes with a baby?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did the same thing with Fallout 76, and, you know, I only played it for about a month, so.
Oh, man, Fallout 76. Boy.
Well, at least I got the both bags that came with that version. I finally got the real deal bag from them, so.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, we appreciate you calling and checking in with us each week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, I'm still enjoying the one by Obsidian, the Outer World. So at least they're doing an excellent job of showing how Fallout should have been done.
Yeah,
and have been handled. But
to give people an update, neither Sarah nor myself have played Outer Worlds, although both Sarah and myself have high intentions to do so at some point.
Yes.
We're both subscribers of the Xbox Game Pass, which means we've got it there. And I think that's an issue, is because
there's so much.
I think the issue is that it's there for free for us to play. It's sitting there and we can do it whenever. We didn't put in the investment to buy it. So therefore, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of not.
Yeah, I get that. But I can also pull open a drawer of all the games I did put in the investment to buy and still haven't played.
This
so.
Is true.
Yeah,
this is true.
That's true with me as well. It's just one of those things like, oh, I'd love to play this. And I'd love to get back and play Uncharted 4. But it's been sitting in the drawer over here beside me. And I still haven't bothered to pop it in there. And I played the remaster of all three that came on the PlayStation 4 as well. And I just haven't finished the story yet with it.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, take care, enjoy, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Y'all have a good afternoon.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Yeah, that's right. Like I said, the hero worship of it, I think, and I think that was the problem. The more I saw of the game, the more it felt, what's the word, arrogant?
Okay.
the more things felt a little bit... it felt kind of arrogant, I guess. I don't know. I know that's not the intention, but each time something was revealed, I was like, wait, you've got an 8-minute trailer to introduce this character? But when I watch it, you don't really tell me anything at all. This is still not explaining the game to me. What I wish he would do, and maybe it's whatever, it's his own thing. I honestly wish he would, I don't know if you remember Red Dead Redemption's release, not two, but the first one.
Yes.
The first one came out with a series of videos with a narrator talking about the game, talking about what you'd be doing, talking about gameplay and mechanics and all this other stuff. It was very downright instructional almost, but it was nice. And it was about 6 minutes long, maybe more than that, actually, with what they were going. And they went over different aspects. Over time, they released more of those, and you kind of got a good sense of what was going on. I'd love something like that for this game to kind of give me that introduction without me having to just say, okay, I'll just buy it and see what you've done.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, the reviews on this, I haven't read them, but as Chris states, it sounds like the reviews don't match the scores that they give, but we'll see. We'll see. I know that Nate wants to play it. We'll see if Matt's going to play it. I'll get my opinion from Nate to see how he enjoys it. I'll watch some walkthroughs, I guess, to see what it all looks like. It is not on my radar right now. It really is not on my radar.
Yeah, mine either.
I know it's coming to PC, which is something we found out this past week, is that PC people will get it now. So it's being exclusively released on console, only on the PS4.
Right.
But in early summer of next year, it'll be coming to PC for those who, you know, want to hero worship him on PC, I guess. I don't know. By then, they will know, though. By then,
right?
You know, they'll know, do I really want that on PC? Nope. Do I really want to play it? No. You know, I don't know how these things survive when they have such a long delay before they hit another platform.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how sales of Red Dead 2 is going to be when it launches November 5th. That's when it's going to hit PC on November 5th. I don't know. People have wanted a Red Dead game on PC for a long time. But I don't know. You've been out for a year on console with plenty of time for people to enjoy it. Plenty of time for the hype to come and then go.
Right.
So if you don't stagger it like that and you can release even just a few weeks after, that helps you out a little bit. But yeah, I'd relate it to, sorry, Lethal, relate it to Destiny. Console release in September, PC release in November. It was really weird. And I said, well, let me give the PC a shot. And I just fell in love on the PC. The mouse and keyboard stuff was just fantastic. I was also getting it. At the time, I only had a 1080p in the room, in the bedroom where I played, or any of the rooms in the house where I played, but my PC had a 1440. And so I was getting that with unlimited frame rates, and it was just fantastic. And so that's where I stuck with it. However, now I've got an Xbox One X. I've also got a 4K TV. I haven't tried Red Dead to see what it looks like in 4K, to see how nice it is. I have heard the first-person mode that you can play on PC is really the way to go because it enables the mouse and keyboard controls.
Okay.
And is the way to play that game if you're playing it on PC. So, I don't know. Again, something to ask Matt. I don't know if he's jumping on that or not. I can't remember. I think he jumped on the Red Dead 2 thing back in last October, but I can't remember, so. Did you play it? You have an Xbox. Did you get two?
No.
Western's not your thing, or you just had no interest?
Just not a lot of time. Mm-hmm. So I have, we've talked about it before, I have pretty limited video game time.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to buy something
that's fine.
I might like. I'll wait and see how things go. And right now, I haven't had a lot of time for anything except Destiny. I've managed one other game.
Right, and we're going to... Well, we've got time. What is the other game?
So I've been playing Generation Zero, which is out from Avalanche. It's post-apocalyptic Sweden. You fight some mechs.
Okay. Is this, you're playing it on Xbox?
I'm playing it on Xbox.
Part of the Game Pass or no?
It was a limited, like they had like a free weekend. Mm-hmm. And then I think it was maybe $10 or
oh,
something
really?
Like
okay.
that. It was not expensive.
Okay.
So I enjoyed it enough over the weekend that, yeah, I'll play that. It's what we're kind of looking at it as is something to play in between Destiny seasons when it's okay. like, all right, I don't like I'm kind of done with mm-hmm. with Destiny until there's something new to do.
That can happen.
Yes.
That can happen. It's happened to me a few times. This last lull was in between the final season and the release of
yeah.
the brand new expansion. I had what felt like a month and a half mm-hmm. of just saying, hey, play whatever you want. And
yeah.
I knocked
and
a few things out.
Yeah. That's when we picked it up. So the critiques of it are that it's very samey.
Mm-hmm.
You're in an empty world, basically investigating abandoned buildings and fighting mechs. And you do a lot of that. But the cycle scratches the same sort of itch that Left 4 Dead did for me.
Yeah.
So it's a social game. It's something I can play when I'm not getting in depth into something else.
Yeah, they're talking about the 4K consoles,
yes.
4K TVs, and everything else. Yeah, when I say 4K, I'm also talking about the HDR aspect as well, because that's what made Spider-Man shine on the PS4. And PS4 isn't really true 4K, but it looks really good. And then God of War on PS4 is just amazing in the high definition that it had, the ultra high definition. And so I haven't tried a game on the Xbox yet that has that ability. Outer Worlds does, but I haven't played it yet. Red Dead Redemption 2 probably has that as well, but again, I haven't played it since I got the 4K, so mm-hmm. something for me to dip back into and check out. And you're talking of getting games because you don't have time to play. I'm not putting in the investment in things. The season of me buying a lot of games that fall into that category is about to happen. Black Friday sales.
Yes.
So, in fact, I haven't checked in a while. Let me see if there's anything new on that front. I would like to see if there's anything about what we can expect in the Black Friday ads and that sort of thing. I'm mainly looking at Control. I want to pick up Control if it ever has a sale of any kind. Let's see. Go. What do we have? Well, CVS's Black Friday ad was posted today, which, you know, nothing but receipts. Miles and miles of receipt wrapping paper.
Yes.
If they sold that as wrapping paper, CVS receipt as wrapping paper, oh my God. I think that's a grand idea. I think they should look into that. Kohl's Black Friday ad. Now, I know you're thinking Kohl's, but man, they've had a few good ones for the Xbox. And the PS4 in the past. See, Walmart has a toy book, nothing. Dell. let's see. I don't see anything concerning any of like your major electronic store type stuff, like your
yeah.
Best Buy or your Target. Nothing out there yet. But Kohl's does have a PS4 bundle. If I can ever get this thing to open, I don't know what's going on with my PC right now, or my PC. It's a MacBook. That's your that's your first problem, is that it's a Mac. Let's see, checking real quick. Trying to find, there's clothes, don't care. Nothing of those. Okay, go back to the top. Doorbusters, there it is. All right, looking it over. They have a PlayStation 4 that is a doorbuster. It's a PlayStation 4 Slim 1 terabyte, the Fortnite Neo Versa gaming console bundle. I guess it comes, well, Fortnite's free. Oh, it includes 2,000 Fortnite V-Bucks. And you can pick that up for $200. That's a horrible deal. What is the Xbox One? So the Xbox One S 1 terabyte Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order bundle. You will get a 1 terabyte Xbox One S with Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order for $200. Better way to go than that PS4 thing. I think
if
your best
it's not dressed up like R2-D2, I don't care.
It's not. It doesn't have anything like that. Or you can go this route. The Nintendo Switch. You'll get a Switch, a carrying case, a controller charging dock. Oh, Jesus, that's ridiculous. $319. Yeah, I think the Xbox One S is the good one on that one. Although, I think by now, plenty of people have that and probably aren't looking to get the console. But maybe there are some who are like, you know what? That's a good deal to me to pick up this console so I can play all these other games I haven't over the past year. So, that's only the first one. And we'll see if it's going to get better or stay the same. Usually on your console stuff, that's usually the bundles you see is usually what's being pushed, and not a lot of other places will change that format. They won't change the bundle much, but we should see something different, at least from either Target, Walmart, or Best Buy.
Right.
And then they'll all fall in line with doing that bundle to not be outdone. So for those of you maybe looking to get a new console this Christmas, if you want to do that. Little difficult to push it since both companies have announced that they are releasing new consoles next year.
Right.
So, which in that same vein, drop your price, you know, drop your price on your older bundles and move those out. I think you could go a little bit lower on an Xbox One S bundle. I guess if you take out Jedi Fallen Order, I think that's a big add on to that since it'll have just released. In fact, when is that? And is that on your radar at all?
That is on my radar.
Let me look at the man, what is up with my laptop? It is having a whole problem with like trying to search things. November 15th is the release date on that. Again, were Matt here, he could have just outright told me without me having to search.
Yes.
But yeah, November 15th for that release. You going to go PS4 or Xbox One for that?
I haven't decided. I may go PS4 just because it looks sad.
Okay.
Like, it sits over on the other side of the TV going, why don't you let me?
With all my stuff that I have to play. I mean, they've got some great games. But
they
do. Probably already messed around with them. I mean, did you pick up God of War?
I have not.
You got Horizon Zero Dawn.
I did.
Know that.
I love that.
God of War's great. Shadow of the Colossus, which I know you probably already played, but the remaster is beautiful looking. What else? Spider-Man's great game, by the way, on there as well. PS4 title. And Last of Us 2 is due out. Of course, they delayed the release of that one. Yeah, the Star Wars game, I don't know, man. It's not... man, it's not on my radar either. Star Wars as a fan thing passed me by. I did not get on that train. Like a lot of people that I know, I don't hate it. I really don't, but I am not, I am not diehard over the thing. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like if you hated it and were in a room with both me and Matt, your head would just explode.
Right. You know, and I don't hate it. Cause I mean, in some, sometimes there's a good story there. It depends on who's telling it. You know,
I do.
You know.
I do.
You read a lot of books.
I do.
Story surrounds you in your life daily. Narrative, be it good or bad, surrounds you in your life daily. You should be able to pick out when it's good and when it's bad and not be blinded by, I don't know, I don't know what might blind you to it. But, I mean, you know, there's problems in that world. There's problems.
There are problems. My problems are not the same as other people's problems.
Yeah.
That's okay.
So, you know, what was the one that released not last year, the year before last?
Last Jedi?
Was that Last Jedi? Yeah. Last Jedi. Were you yay or nay on that?
I am yay. I am so yay.
On that?
Yeah.
Good. So am I.
I love Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Because I do not love the prequels. It is like a little rock in Matt's shoe that I have still not seen episode 3 and won't.
Yeah. Well, you're fine.
I feel perfectly content with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am pro the new movies.
I am too.
I have a lot of trepidation going into
I tell you,
the
I'm
next
not,
one.
I'm not
we'll
necessarily
see.
Pro J.J. Abrams. I'm pro him being able to bring that back to the forefront, but watching his film for the first one was, I don't know. I couldn't compare it to anything because there was nothing else in the Star Wars universe like that until Rian Johnson did Last Jedi. I thought, see, that's, you'd go that way.
Yeah, I liked Episode 7 with the knowledge that we were changing to a new director and writer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, this is very cool. We've tied it to the old trilogy. Now where are we going?
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily know that I'm going to like going back. It depends on how much he pulls the narrative back.
Well, it's not
to where,
I mean,
it seemed like we were headed after that movie.
Not to pull a joke that's meta on itself, but it was a movie of member berries, and it was just nothing but you know what I mean? And that's the way I feel they're pushing on this last one as well. It's like, oh yeah, remember Emperor? You haven't seen him in a while, he's coming back.
Right.
You know, oh look, it's, I don't know, man. We're completely going off topic, but yeah.
Yes. Star Wars video game, not the movies. Video game.
Yeah. Well, the
that's
video
what
game
we're talking about.
They've been trying to do a Star Wars single player type video game adventure game thing for a while now. And we'll see if Respawn has pulled it off. I feel like they're going to think they did just from sales alone. I think the thing's going to be killer as far as sales.
Yeah.
I think it'll do extremely well. I don't know if it'll be reviewed great. I have no idea, but I don't think the reviews on this will matter. I think people will jump on board because it has been a long time since we've gotten a single player Star Wars game like this.
There was a single player mode in...
It was a story mode in Battlefront 2.
In Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
Which, oddly enough, I thought going into that game, that's what I was going to be all about. And like, yeah, I'll play some of the multiplayer occasionally, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't love it. I wanted to, but I didn't.
I think Matt was the same way. Yeah. I don't know. But Matt's issue was different, from what I understand. He is not off work yet to hear me critique his opinion on this game. But his part was that he didn't get to play the dark side more.
Right. He thought he was going to get to play a dark side protagonist, but she has a change of heart early on.
And he felt
betrayed.
Yeah, he didn't like that at all. And I just was like, well, I understand you wanting something and then getting something different, but that bias aside, how did you enjoy what you played? And it was just, you know, he still didn't like it, and I have no idea. Honestly, I think it was something that was tacked on, not necessarily last minute, but I think it was just felt like, yeah, let's throw this in there. It'll introduce a new character, and it'll, you know, gives us an excuse to use this voice actor.
And I did not love the gameplay, which was funny because I played a lot of the multiplayer, and I didn't think
that I would be
as enthusiastic about that.
Yeah. Stick to what you know, and what you know is multiplayer. And so Respawn, hopefully what they know is single-player games. I believe that they do when it comes to, like, Titanfall. It was fantastic. I enjoyed Titanfall. Titanfall 2 had an amazing story that I didn't even finish, but just even going through it was just wonderful in comparison. And then Apex Legends comes out, and it's like, well, no interest. And now they're trying it with Star Wars, and we'll see. I don't know. Like Lethal Migraine said, it kind of looks bad. I understand that. But people are going to play this thing, and I worry that the sales of it will justify everything for a second one. And EA will fall into the trap that they always do, which is, okay, do this again, make it the same, you know?
Yeah.
And it's another aspect of... It's always the Jedi. It's always this. Focus on somebody. And that was one of the beautiful parts, I think, that we were following with Amy's work for what she was working on, was like you were going to play a smuggler of some type, you know,
and
go through that. You didn't have to worry about the Jedi. Didn't have to be any of that stuff. But marketing dictates it needs to have a lightsaber, Skywalker, Vader, you know, it needs to have these components in order to sell. And they will not break that mold, it seems. Mm-hmm. They will not take that chance. It's a big chance for them to take. I get that.
Yeah.
I get them sitting in a room saying, well, if we don't do this, then, say, you know, our charts show that anytime it's got Jedi, Skywalker, this stuff, look at the sales. You know, every time we enter, every time we put these legends, bring a new legend into the Battlefront 2 game,
right.
Look at the spike. Look at the spike of social media attention we get. Look at the spike of this. It all works because that's what the people want. But I think if you take a chance, like Last Jedi did, and well, that's not a good example. That divided the community fiercely. So I don't know. I just want to see
the right side and the wrong side.
You know, I want to see more creativity in the telling of Star Wars or the telling of that universe, that story. I don't want to go full Kojima with creativity on it, but you know, I want to see that. I don't know. I haven't been reading the chat room. It's probably horrible.
No, we're off on Titanfall and Star Wars games featuring characters as vegetables.
Yeah. Did you play Titanfall 2?
I did not. I played Titanfall 1 until they changed some of the scoring mechanic, and all of a sudden I might as well not be there.
Yeah.
So I have not gotten into Titanfall
2. I don't know. Yeah, Titanfall 2 single player is really good.
Yeah.
They have this, and I tell you, anything that involves time travel is always going to hold my interest, mm-hmm. at least until they explain their mechanic of time travel. And then that's like the hinge. If they can explain their mechanic of how time travel works and make it work well, then that's great. But if they explain their mechanic and it's absolutely bonkers, then it's like, nothing. If they explain their time travel and it's Avengers Endgame, blech. What? Why are you shushing me? Did I spoil it or something?
No.
Okay.
It's fine.
It's not.
It's fine.
It's absolutely...
I mean, the time travel suits were not fine, but the rest of it was fine.
Yeah, there's issues with their mechanics on that, but whatever. That's fine. I understand. We've gone too long. We're 3 minutes now over. We need to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more of in-game chat. Here is music from a new game I haven't played, but I hear it's fantastic. Have you heard of a game called After Party?
No.
It's... You need to look that up.
Okay.
Because it's... The party is in the sense of a D&D party.
Okay.
And After Party is because I think they're all dead. And they're playing D&D with Satan. Because they've all gone to hell. And... You should look into this.
Okay.
The name of this track is called Schoolyard Slaughter. Like I said, all the music in here is great. There's one dud of music coming up. I don't know when we're getting to that, but it is... I'll explain my issue with it coming up. But this is After Party, Schoolyard Strangler. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this.
Yeah.
And welcome back to In-Game Chat. The track I was talking about, there was one horrible, you know, one bad apple in the whole bunch here. It's this one. The fact of the matter is, I listened to probably 7 or 8 tracks from this game, and I could not tell you a difference between either of them. Do you know what this game is?
Doom?
No, it's not Doom.
Oh.
This is Ghost Recon Breakpoint.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, never mind.
There was not a gem among them. Sometimes I can find some that are like, oh, this is nice, but this is the basics. And I apologize to the composers, like, they listen. But it is the same thing. It's like, okay, we need drums and we need guitars, and they all need to be broody and angry.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not mix it up. Let's not mix it up with violins. Let's not mix it up with any kind of horn section whatsoever. Let's synthesize what we can and aggressively play everything else. And I don't know. It just, to me, and again, musical opinion is a entirely subjective thing. So there are people who probably enjoy this. I don't.
I keep the music down in that game.
Yeah, I don't. You know, somebody else that does that, and I think actually a lot of people who keep music down in games. Random keeps the music down in Destiny a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And because I remember the Whisper Quest had fantastic music in it. And I remember telling him, hey, the music's great on this. He's like, yeah, I keep my music turned down a lot. And I was like, oh, you should really turn it up for this. This is a fantastic, fantastic track for this. And then we did that new dungeon that released.
Yeah.
The Pit of Heresy, I believe is what it's called. Fantastic music in that. Told him again, me and Rogue and him were playing. I was like, hey, at least the music's good. He's like, yeah, I keep the music turned down.
Yeah.
You should turn it up. It's really good. Maybe I'll feature that next week, have that in the track rotation for next week. But anyway, welcome back to the show. Matt has joined us.
And I'm Matt.
Yeah, he is. I don't know if he said I'm Matt or I'm mad.
No, Matt.
Because he has, did tell me he listened.
I was yelling all the way here.
You do that anyway when you listen to the station.
For different reasons, yes. But that's besides the point.
Yeah, no.
The whole way here, listening to you guys, talking.
Were you a yay or nay on Rise?
Oh,
or not Rise? Last Jedi.
Yay.
You were a yay.
100% yay.
I thought you were a nay. Earlier.
No,
did you change?
No.
Okay.
That's my.
Because you're welcome too. People can change. It's
oh
fun.
Yeah. That's my second favorite underneath Empire.
Okay. Well, yeah, you do go for the.
And then.
Bad guys win.
And then below that one would be Rogue One.
Yeah.
Which at the end, I mean, I guess the Rebels, get their little data out, but they get taken out all the same.
By the way, I finally finished the last season of Rebels.
Oh, what'd you think?
Yeah. Crap, I don't remember what happened.
Okay. Thrawn attacks. They, Ezra and Thrawn get thrown into the wherever. With the,
yeah, that's right. He gets, boy, I wish they would have explained more of that whole Jedi space he went into.
The other space or
whatever that is.
Yeah.
Where it seems to
be.
The
world between worlds.
Yeah. Whatever that thing is in between time and that sort of thing. I really wish they'd have gone more into that than just one episode. And kind of.
I think there's more explanation of the world between worlds and other medias, and like it's been mentioned elsewhere, comics.
Yeah. Needs to, but if you're gonna bring us there, give us some explanation. But I don't know. Okay. Well, two questions that we have for you.
Sure.
Since you've been Well, more than two, but two that we...
the two right now.
Two that we needed to ask was...
Yes.
We'll start with the first one. Where are you on Death Stranding? Are you, like, interested
Man,
in that or not?
So, I saw the release trailer for it, right?
8 minutes long.
And I'm thinking, okay, this will maybe clear... No, it didn't clear it up. If anything, I'm just more confused every time I see anything new about that game.
Oddly enough, the clarity I got on possibly the story on this came from a Rick and Morty ad.
Really?
Have you seen that ad?
No.
It is about Death Stranding. It's okay. An ad. More than likely because Kojima put everybody in this. I'm sure Justin Roiland is in there. Is in the game
somewhere.
Conan
O'Brien went to visit...
Yeah, he's in the game too.
Was he in the game or is that just like for that one segment?
No, he's in the game.
They actually put... Okay,
he is in the game. He gives you the beaver helmet or whatever the thing is. Otter. It's a sea otter. It gives you the otter helmet. It's a little, it's like a Mario thing, right? He puts it on, and when he gets in water and swims, he can lay on his back. I know. Oh, God, you're going to make me link this thing. And if I link it, you have to watch it.
Otherwise, I don't have to do anything. I'm an adult.
Well, it's because I sound like a complete moron talking about it. But if I link
think
this,
anybody who talks about Death Stranding will sound like a complete moron to anybody else. Because they're like, what? It just doesn't.
I mean, they do know that we can float on our backs anyway,
in
right?
In general? Or can we?
Okay. There's the link for the Conan O'Brien thing.
Okay.
You know,
where he gives you an otter costume.
Is it like a tanuki suit?
It's just a helmet with an otter's head on it. But when he gets in the water, he looks like a human otter. Like the way they lay on their back.
Yeah.
And like he's doing something with his hands. When he's swimming? I don't know. It's so weird.
At what point is Kojima just trolling us and like thinking like I'm going to do this? And like it comes out as a game and people like it. He's like, oh.
See, Kojima's not trolling, though. This is not...
weird.
He's not trolling. This is him completely, like we said, he is completely not unhinged. He is unranged.
Oh, I think unhinged.
Unfettered.
Might.
Yeah, he has nothing. There's no tethers on this man right now. He is doing exactly whatever he wants. You don't even, by the way, you don't even need audio.
Okay.
You just watch.
People sometimes need tethers.
Because I specifically want you to watch the end of that trailer when your character wears the otter helmet. And it's only, no, that's not 15 seconds long. That's a stupid ad for Geico.
Ooh, you're going to save 15%?
It's the good one where they run from the killer and they said, let's go hide behind the chainsaw.
Oh, yeah. He's like, what? Yeah. Now, sometimes people need pushback. They need boundaries, because that makes them be better.
Editors and feedback exist for a reason. Because,
like you said, that as you were coming in, I was yelling how wrong you were about the prequels in episode 3. I will say that sometimes having
otter helmet. Not kidding.
I
need to show you as
no
well?
Words. I got no words.
Wearing an otter helmet.
He is
now
wearing an otter helmet.
Watch when he swims.
And it's
whenever he goes swimming, he's on his back. He's doing some weird thing with his hands because he's swimming. He's swimming like an otter. There. I don't understand.
That game
it.
Has me confused in so many different ways. One of the I listened to a review about it today from Easy Allies. They were the former Game Trailers people, and they said, you know, they gave it an 8.5 or so, but they said in a way, and like, I've heard this from a couple of different places, it's boring.
The other link I just posted was the Rick and Morty ad. You do actually need audio for that because when they explain it, it's the best explanation that I've gotten so far from the entire media that's been released for this thing without reading any of the reviews.
I like what Kevin said. That's basically the postman, you know, with Kevin Costner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
somebody in the chat room earlier said it's just post-apocalyptic FedEx driver.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. I'm on the fence. I don't think I'm gonna get it right away. If I get it, I'll get it later on the PC. But Kojima he's just weird. I know we like to like hail him as like a video game auteur and everything like that. And at one point, I mean, I don't know.
I say again that I don't mind creativity. I think
creativity's fine.
When you have creativity, you get great things. You have the potential to get great things. You also have the potential to get crap.
Yeah.
But the indie mega booth is at PAX South, West, East, wherever. The indie mega booth and like the sixth floor in Seattle for a lot of indie titles is just a wonderful place to spend almost the entire con, going from booth to booth and seeing these games that you never would have seen elsewhere.
Creativity, like Untitled Goose Game, right?
There's that.
So out of nowhere, you play as a goose. Huh? That's weird. But it seems endearing. I've seen like a lot of love for it, the memes, the pictures, all that. All right, that's fine. Otter hats on, you know, post-apocalyptic delivery, walkers. I don't know, man.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I'll wait for Nate to play it.
That was right. That was question one. The question two was,
I am interested in Red Dead 2.
PC.
Yes.
You played it, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't beat it on the PS2. No. But I played it, and I will be getting it. I mean, it comes out on the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
So fifth. I am. Oh, 5th?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's November 5th, which is Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah.
4th,
so
I'm sure they'll do some like midnight, and it'll
probably
hit 11 p.m.
You
can
already preload it, and it's 150 gigs.
It's a big one.
It is.
It's a big boy.
I had to go through my library of like, okay, what do I not play currently that I could start uninstalling some stuff?
How large is this? Not to ask personal questions. How large is your hard drive?
It's about, I think that one's a 2 terabyte or 1 terabyte.
How much you got on there that you need to pull stuff off for 100 gigs?
It's either a 2 or 1 terabyte. It's one of the two.
Is this like your whole hard drive?
No, that's just my games.
What the hell?
I keep a lot of, I have a lot of Steam
go ahead. I'll get to the phone. I mean, here, put the guy on hold.
Okay.
I need to find out.
I have,
what's holding you back?
Well, I have a lot of stuff installed. You know, I go through a lot of things. Like concurrently, I'm playing. Oh, hey Matt, what are you playing? Oh, I'll tell you what I'm playing. So you know, playing Arma 3 with Kevin.
Right.
So that's installed. We're playing Elite Dangerous, so that's still installed. I've got on my own. I've been playing Borderlands 3. I've been going between Borderlands 3.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Ghost Recon Breakpoint, and recently I picked up on the. Game Pass, I picked up Outer Worlds.
Okay, awesome.
So yeah, I've been going through between Borderlands 3, Ghost Recon Breakpoint, and Outer Worlds.
You picked up Outer Worlds?
Yes. Well, I got it on the Game Pass
The
dollar.
For the PC
dollar. Yeah,
thing.
For the PC.
Yeah.
And right. I am absolutely loving it.
Yeah, you going to buy it? Are you going to extend your subscription to Game Pass?
I mean, if it's a dollar, you know.
It's not going to be a dollar.
I mean, eventually. But, I mean, like, you know, eventually I'll check when.
Well, I'm just curious how you're going to continue playing that game if you really like it so much.
I'll probably,
unless you can knock it out in the month. How much? It's a dollar for how long? A month?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Usually it's only like first 2 weeks or something like that. But, yeah, look into that.
But, I mean, see. I'm really, really enjoying
that. Honestly,
one.
Game Pass is not a bad deal.
It's not.
Yeah.
Regardless. This means you have Gears. You have access to Gears 5.
Yeah. I was never big into the Gears game.
Well, you can med all you want, but it's got a nice little horde mode where
sure.
we can play. I think it's cross-platform, so you and I can play on PC and on console. And we can do the horde mode stuff together. We can play the campaign co-op together, too, I believe.
Yeah.
PC only Game Pass, $7 a month. That's a good deal.
That's
easy.
A good deal.
Yeah.
Very.
So yeah,
but so I am interested. You know, like I will be playing a Red Dead 2, and also Jedi Fallen Order on the PC.
Yeah. Did you look up After Party?
I have not looked it up yet, but that is.
Look that
I
up.
Think that may be my Thanksgiving adventure.
Look,
since I get
it
4 days off.
Yeah, it's on the Switch. What is it on? It's on PlayStation 4, Switch, Xbox One, Windows. After Party is an ambitious game that works hard to deliver funny dialogue and outright laughs. Well, that's not what I want to hear. It's like part of a review. I didn't want a review. I wanted some sort of... there we go. Milo and Lola, recently deceased best buds,
Okay.
Who suddenly find themselves staring down an eternity in hell. But there's a loophole. Outdrink Satan and he'll grant you re-entry to Earth.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. In After Party, you and my recent loophole control Milo and Lola with an intelligent conversation system that changes the story and your relationships based on every decision. Uncover their personality quirks and foggy history during the wild events of the night. What adventures will you stumble through in the underworld? Every step is up to you. Time to go on the best bender ever. Uncover the mystery of why you've been damned and drink the big guy under the table. I thought it was D&D related, but it's not. It's let's get drunk related. When I mentioned party, it's more of that. But I've heard nothing but good things about it. So
yeah.
Well, I will still look into it, even if it doesn't.
You should.
D&D
you should.
Obsession.
Let's go to the phones real quick and talk to the Master Thespian. Hello.
So what's not clear to me is, are you supposed to be drinking while you're playing the game, or are you drinking in the game?
While
you play. I mean, that's just a given.
Honestly, what game are you playing where you don't drink?
Yeah. Well, never mind. Okay, I missed the whole conversation that Matt was yelling out in his car about the Star Wars movies. I think Matt and I are kind of on the same plane. You know, Empire Strikes Back is number one.
Yeah.
And I really liked The Last Jedi.
Me too.
Last Jedi.
I didn't understand those people who were all, let's go,
understand what they got in the revival in episode 7, the whole thing of like, hey, we're doing Star Wars trilogies again. Yep. Yep. Understand what they got in episode 7, which was
basically a remake of episode 4. Yeah.
Hey, remember this? Remember we did this? Remember this? Yep. We're going to bring them all back and we do this and remember all of this. And you didn't get that in the next one. There was none of that there. In fact, yeah. it was a lot of, hey, remember all this that you saw in this last movie? Yeah, we're just going to get rid of it.
Yeah. Just pull the rug out from under you, yeah.
Exactly.
But, you know, but Empire did that. When Empire first came out, there were people that didn't like it and hated it. And I remember distinctly when I was 14, 15 when I saw it, I was standing up in the theater at the end, and then the credits going, is that it?
Yeah.
You know, my parents are pushing me down. Shut up. It's all in the thing. But, you know, it's one of those movies that you get all these, you know, 90-degree turns where you think it's going one way and all of a sudden, wait a minute.
Yeah, this is why we're not so, I say we're. This is why I know me and Sarah are kind of a little hesitant about what's to come in December.
Yeah.
Because it's J.J. Abrams again. And yeah, we've already seen him.
He's not known for ending.
Yeah.
No, he's not. Look at the ending of Lost, for example.
Oh, yeah. I try not to.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think it's got potential to have some really cool stuff in it. But, yeah, there's that little, really quite sure what's going to happen.
I don't know. For me, I think it's interesting because it is the culmination of an entire 9-movie saga.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
yep.
They're wrapping
you
up.
You say that.
Not just,
you don't
you
know.
The but... That's
you
how they're marketing
that.
At. The saga ends. This is
right.
The end. This
well,
is the end of the Skywalker saga.
I understand. I understand that. But you just said yourself that he's not good at ending. And I
historically,
I fully believe that the rug is going to be pulled out from under us again. Not to say that they're going to continue that, but also understand what I went back and said earlier. About the video game aspect of things, and even about the story aspect of any time they try and tell Star Wars. The guys in the suits. Yeah,
yes.
The guys in the suits, the guys in the marketing, the guys with the charts that can see how things work well and what they do shows that if we abandon this concept and try and expand this universe beyond lightsabers, Skywalkers, Vaders, all this stuff, they don't do well.
Yeah, it's all about the money.
You know, they have the history of Rogue One to look at. They have the history of Solo to look at. Anytime they diverted from that, didn't work as good. And so the suits say, well, play it safe. Do this. And I understand that. I'm not...
Both Rogue One and Solo have a lightsaber in them.
Of course.
You know? Yes, they do. And Solo was fun.
I enjoyed Solo.
I enjoyed it, but a lot of people didn't.
I'm hoping, I'm really hoping that Mandalorian will change that aspect.
So excited for that.
Yeah, I saw the latest trailer and went, oh, this looks good.
What is that, the 12th?
Yeah, the 12th.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, like, unlike Sarah, I actually like the prequels. I am perfectly okay with them. I'm okay with Jar Jar Binks. I'm okay with Anakin. The whole thing, episode 3 is one of my favorites.
Episode what?
Yeah. Episode 3.
Yeah, episode what? What?
Yes. The one where Padme dies from a broken heart, that one.
Well, yeah.
But so for me, one of the things I'm looking forward to about Jedi Fallen Order is that beginning trailer that we first saw where he's working and, you know, the Cal Kestis is just trying to blend in and hide and just, you know, not be noticed. And then, like, something goes wrong, you know, at the docks, and he has to, like, save someone using his force powers. And that sort of outs him. And so that idea of, a Padawan who didn't fully get trained as a Jedi, you know, because of Order 66, you know, is just trying to blend in and try and live a normal life and stay under the radar, you know, is forced to basically peek his head out, which draws attention.
I feel like that's going to be the first tutorial level.
Probably. I'm sure it is. Yeah, probably. But, like, that's what, like, when I saw that, I'm like, okay, to me, that's interesting.
It'll last all of ever how long it takes you to get through that little level, which is probably a very small one.
Scene.
And the first cutscene is you at the docks using your power and being like, uh-oh, he's a Jedi. From there on out, here's your lightsaber, here's your force powers.
Yeah, it's similar to that plot line at the very first season of Rebels when, what's his name?
Had to reveal with that, Ezra?
Yeah. Not with Ezra,
Kanan.
Kanan, yeah.
Kanan, yeah. It's similar to that plot line, but, you know, I guess Kanan had a little bit more instruction than Cal Kestis.
Kanan was also a Padawan when Order 66 happened. Yeah. You know, he wasn't even a full Jedi yet.
And it could be they do a similar mechanic to the Dark Forces game, Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight.
Yeah, or even Jedi Outcast.
Where you're slowly learning.
Where you have to, like, regain your powers.
Yeah, and that as you're playing the game.
I always enjoyed that mechanic of video games where it's like, you're a god among men, but not yet.
Surprise!
Not yet. You need to go and get all your stuff again. That was annoying.
And you can't get through this door. You got to get all your stuff, and then you can go through the door.
Yeah. Or like the Metroid. The Metroid approach where, like, Samus is, like, fully, you know, like, very first, she's, like, fully loaded. Then, like, it's all taken away.
That was also in Darksiders. I guess it was Darksiders or Dark. Or what, the one where you played. War.
Darksiders.
Darksiders, You played War, and, like, the opening mission is you fully equipped to take on everything, and you lose everything, and you have to go and acquire it again to take on the whatever. It's just,
you know, at least with the Assassin's Creed Odyssey, they kind of did that, but you were a different character. You start out as Leonidas, and you are fully, you know, buffed up and everything.
I don't remember starting out as Leonidas.
In the very, very beginning, before...
It's been a while since I played that. About a year ago when I played that on the...
For free?
During the test run, yeah.
Yeah, no, you start as Leonidas in the Battle of Thermopylae. Mm-hmm. And so you have, you know, a bunch of different powers and stuff and abilities. But then once you start into your character that you play, either Cassandra or Alexios, then you're lower power.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's the same kind of mechanic, but in a different way.
It is a different way, yeah. Well, so because the story explains it better, I guess, in a sense. So, hey, man, thanks for calling in, of course.
All right, well, hey, I'm loving the discussion. Y'all hang in there.
All right. I appreciate it. We have veered off the discussion a lot into movies, but we got to take a break because we came back late, and I know this was a short segment, but, we're going to come back, and we haven't talked about really any news in here. I'm going to look over this during the break and see if there's anything we want to really. Well, yeah, there is BlizzCon.
Yeah.
Definitely want to hit that up.
Diablo 4.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. BlizzCon, Diablo 4, Overwatch 2. Mm-hmm. Apologies, meaningless apologies. we've got all of those just ahead. Right now, we do have music from The Outer Worlds.
Yay!
It's apparently the main menu theme because anything else I found was just ambient music for the city that you're in. So this is just the main menu music stuff here. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. back to in-game chat music here from a game called Concrete Genie. Yeah, it's much better than that Breakpoint crap.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. Just nondescript.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with what sounds like a cello. But anyway, the title is called the title of the game is Concrete Genie. The title of this track is also Concrete Genie. I don't actually know much about it.
No.
But the music has intrigued me to look it up. PlayStation game was released. It's an action-adventure game developed by Pixel Opus, a developer of part of Sony Interactive Worldwide Studios. But that doesn't tell me anything about the game itself and what action-adventure game. It was released on October 8th. Story takes place in a small town named Denska, which has mostly been abandoned and polluted. A young boy named Ash regularly doodles in his notebook. A group of bullies steal the book, rip out the pages, and scatter them throughout the city. Ash goes on a quest to recover his pages. Along this quest, he discovers a paintbrush that can bring his creations to life. Ash must overcome the bullies and bring life back to his hometown.
Like Neverending Story.
Player controls Ash and uses the DualShock 4's motion controls, haven't had that in a while, to create landscapes in the town of Denska. These landscapes turn into living portraits. How you paint creatures and what color you paint them will affect their personalities. For example, red paint will grant a creature fire-breathing abilities. In addition to freestyle drawing, there is a set of core puzzles in the game that the player will have to solve through their artwork.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Yeah. All right. Creative director Dominic Robillard says the game is heavily inspired by Sega's Jet Set Radio.
Oh.
The street art stuff.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Pixel Opus confirmed that the game will be released with a mode for the PlayStation VR headset.
Okay.
So, yeah. There you go. Now, you know, I had no idea. But yeah, now we know.
They released a release date for Vader Immortal Episode 3.
Is that the VR Vader stuff?
For Oculus, yeah. I will be getting that.
Yeah. I'm going to do some real quick hits on this thing as we're going down. The Xbox All Access subscription model is coming back for their next console, the one that releases next year. I don't know if you remember this, but for Xbox One, in fact, I think maybe even for the 360, it's very cell phone plan-ish.
Right.
Let me see what the plan is. The current iteration of Xbox All Access starts at $19.99 in the U.S. will include the following. Xbox One console. Now my screen's refreshed for some reason. It's gone completely blank.
Xbox Live Gold, Game Pass. I think that's all.
Really?
Let me refresh it and see what's going on here. I don't know why.
And there's a trade-in option for the Scarlet.
Yes, and that's the thing. They'll have a trade-in option for Scarlet. I can't load this webpage for some reason. I don't know what's going on. It loaded, and then it was... EA games are coming back to Steam.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they will start with Jedi Fallen Order. In fact, I believe the EA...
The store page is already out there for that.
The EA Play Access thing, whatever. The subscription plan to play EA games will extend into Steam, I believe.
Interesting.
It came to PS4, but I think it's going to be available on Steam as well, where you can play their games there also.
So I wonder if, A Way Out will, I'm hoping that would come to Steam.
Come to Steam? I don't know. I think they're going to put out a lot of games. I just don't know how many. How far back are they going to go in their catalog?
Yeah.
Is it just going to start with Jedi Fallen Order and then go from there?
Who knows?
Titanfall 2? Are we going to get any of those? I don't know.
Those were good.
I do not know. PlayStation View, while it's a TV thing, it's actually shutting down. I was a subscriber of PlayStation View for a while. Enjoyed it, honestly.
Yeah.
But now it's going away, which was weird because I didn't hear anything like they were having a problem with it or it wasn't working.
But I didn't really hear anything about it being fantastic either.
Yeah.
Sony had been losing money on Vue and had spent months looking for a buyer to take on the struggling service. I had no idea it was struggling. It appears those efforts were futile, and Vue will close up shop on January 30th, 2020.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, not too long ago, the subscription, the TV is a subscription service model, internet TV, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
That has been just a fast-growing, like, thing. It started... I don't want to say it started small. It feels like it's always been big, but that's because it was so fast in its growth.
Yeah.
People just, you know, shuttering cable and sticking with Netflix, but then Hulu came along, and they had already had that, but then they offered like a live TV service, and then a lot of other people started offering live TV services, and then studios were taking all their stuff and saying, "Well, we're going to open up our own thing."
CBS for all subscription. Access.
Mm-hmm. CBS did it. ESPN is doing it. Apple TV is now in the game. Disney is coming into the game. NBC is coming into the game. HBO Max, or whatever it's called, some HBO subscription service is coming as well.
Amazon had Prime Video.
They got Prime. It's bundled with your Prime service, though, and I feel like maybe a lot of people just was like, oh, that's a bonus to what I already have.
But they've got some other stuff that's still gated off, like Stars.
Right, you still need subscriptions to, like, your pay TV channel type
through
stuff.
Yeah. Amazon, which is interesting.
So, it's just it's a growing market, and eventually, you're going to see a lot of this, actually. You're going to see a lot of other people saying, oh, we can't compete now because people are moving over to this, or they're doing this. It's becoming too crowded of a market.
But how many different, you know, streaming subscriptions are you going to have to, you know, if you truly want some of the media?
I don't know, man. I mean, originally people were cutting that because they were cutting the cord, and it was so much cheaper to just have that there. But now
it's going
to the amount of services.
Well,
right,
we're going to end up with something like cable, but for all the
exactly, you're just going to move it to a different thing. I know.
Yeah. You know, because like I really want to watch Star Trek. So there's CBS All Access. I really want to watch Mandalorian. So there's Disney Plus. I really, you know.
I mean, there's ways.
I do not know for what you speak.
Well, there's also the aspect of account sharing.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people go that route.
Yeah. Which Disney has already said, like, we are actively working to figure out how to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
Which I mean, everybody is. They just aren't admitting it as much.
Yeah.
Over the last week, Blizzard lost a sponsor because of their Hong Kong actions. In fact, it was a pretty big sponsor, Mitsubishi, dropped their sponsorship with Blizzard over the issue with Hong Kong. Confirmed that earlier in the month when the company's logo and models reveal stopped appearing alongside the casters. So, yeah, they'd lost that. And... they had protests at BlizzCon yesterday and probably today, too. The president of Blizzard came out and apologized for the situation that happened. He's absolutely right in his apology when he said, we do apologize. We want to do better. We know these are words, and our actions will do more to do that than what I'm saying right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. But he's still suspended, as far as I know, for 6 months.
Right.
You know, you haven't walked that back. So your actions still show that. Now, if I'm wrong, please somebody tell me, because maybe they have, and I've missed that story where they've rescinded his suspension and everybody else's suspension that they put on as well. Because if they haven't, then your actions still show that you're not capable of doing that. So. That's why earlier, before we went to break, I called it a meaningless apology. Let's see. Modern Warfare. Blech. PS4 over 10. Yeah. Oh, Games with Gold. We got our Games with Gold and our PS Plus games for this month, the month of November. Games with Gold are Xbox One, you will get Sherlock Holmes, The Devil's Daughter, which is great because I haven't played that. I would like to. That's November 1st through the 30th. You'll also get the Final Station. By the way, if you haven't played Final Station, that is a tiny build game.
Final Station. Is that the one with the train?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's a lot of management that goes on in that, by the way, so be prepared. It's got a great concept. It's a train carrying survivors out of some sort of zombie apocalypse. And as you pull up to each station, you get out and you find resources and also other survivors that get on the train with you. In between stations, you go to the back of the train, wherever the survivors are staying, make sure that they're fed, that they're healing okay, that they've got everything they need. You take care of them on your way. And then, you know, when you pull into a next station, you get supplies again for whatever you need and do all that. So it's actually really good. For the Xbox 360, which are also compatible with Xbox One, Star Wars Jedi Starfighter.
Mm-hmm. That was a not bad one.
Which was actually released on the original. Xbox. Yeah. And Joyride Turbo.
And PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
That's all that one is.
So those are your Xbox games with gold for the PS4. For the PlayStation Plus, actually, we have Neo.
Yeah.
Or Naya. Naya? I don't know.
I think it's Neo.
Yeah. And Outlast 2.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, it feels like it's a kind of weak.
They've been weak for the past couple of months. My subscription for PlayStation Plus lapsed. I just haven't had a real incentive to renew it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, not the greatest there.
No.
Releases, personally. Ubisoft has said they want crossplay.
Okay.
For, as it's loading, you know what? Might as well pull up the next story, too. Where was it? Oh, yeah. That's the other Ubisoft story. Yeah, they want cross-platform play for all of their PvP games.
Good. Sure.
Rainbow Six Siege, For Honor. They want the cross-platform stuff.
Speaking of Ubisoft, do you hear they're retooling Breakpoint?
I did. There's a story in there about their plans to retool Breakpoint. I didn't get into it.
Basically, I think they just admitted that, you know, yeah, the whole mechanics that it plays with the leveling up and the gear just wasn't working and people were not happy about it. And I get that because, you know, when you're playing it, you get, you get a gun next thing, you know, or a piece of gear, and like 5 seconds later you get something else. So you're just, there's no attachment to it. There's, you know, no ownership of it. You're just like, whatever, just throw mm-hmm. the next thing.
They also announced that those games that were delayed, Watch Dogs Legion, yeah. Gods and Monsters, Rainbow Six Quarantine, might not have been delayed to improve the quality as much as they might have been delayed because they're going to be a cross-platform release, cross-generational release.
Yeah.
Right.
So PlayStation 5, which comes out next year, Xbox Project Scarlet, whatever that is, comes out next year. So you're going to have the option to pick them up on current-gen consoles or next-gen consoles. I hate this. I can't. This is the worst part of a new generation is when you get the double releases
yeah.
of like here and here. So
it happened. I think it happened good once that I could think of with between the GameCube and Wii with Twilight Princess. The GameCube version was better.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying better or worse. I'm just saying it divides the community that you have. Because then you've got some people who are moving on, like your Watch Dogs Legion, mm-hmm. Which I don't know, whatever. What's the other one? What was the other one? Rainbow Six Quarantine. Probably a PvP type game.
Yeah.
It's going to split the community of it because you're going to have people who aren't ready to upgrade to the new system yet.
And those who are.
And yeah, so it's, you're going to run into those issues. And
maybe
I hate
that's
that.
Why they want it cross-platform. But if they cross, so they could
play. That's the thing. If they cross-platform play, that'll be interesting if you can play with people on PS5 if you're on a PS4.
Cross-platform, cross-generation.
That'll be interesting. Right? If they're able to do that, that'll be interesting. I think they can, but we'll have to wait and see on that. And let's see. Yeah. Okay. So we got an announcement of Diablo 4.
Yes.
And we got an announcement of Overwatch 2. We're going to stick mainly with Diablo 4 on this because I have never touched Overwatch.
No.
And I can't tell you Like, hey, Overwatch 2, and here's all these things that are carrying over. I have no context for them whatsoever.
I remember when we first heard about Diablo 4, like, there was that chat that it was going to be first person, and that's what we were worried about.
What somebody had said was, like, it was filling the hole
where
that Destiny left. And I was like, Destiny didn't leave a hole. There was no hole that was left because Destiny went away. excuse me. We have very little time to talk about this, but there is some aspect of community.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Of a shared world is what I'm saying. And I'm trying to find that and I can't find it. But there has been, let me look this up. Diablo 4, Destiny, let's see. I don't know if I have time.
Your page is just going to reset.
Right, it came from GameSpot, which I hate. I'm going to open that up and see how well the browser handles this, because GameSpot likes to put videos on everything, regardless of what they contain. Mm-hmm. Diablo 4, blah, blah, blah. Diablo 4 returns to the franchise. Looks like Blizzard is borrowing some ideas from those games to make Diablo 4 something more of a shared world experience. The most striking element is the game's use of ideas similar to what's seen in such games as Destiny 2 or Dark Souls. You're a warrior fighting off hordes of evil creatures throughout the world, but you're not alone. Not only do you have your cooperative teammates, but in the demo we saw, the world was also alive with other players fighting just as hard to dispel the undead fiends and demonic creatures. So there seems to be some sort of shared world. Like if you're out in, I don't know, Nessus. Right?
I'm hoping that it'll be more like Destiny where it's a shared hub, like with Sanctuary or whatever.
Yeah,
where,
but you have individual instances of things.
Yes, so that way people won't be, you know, griefing you or stealing your loot. Or,
I don't think they can. I mean, it'll work a lot like what Destiny does.
That's what I'm hoping.
I mean, there can be griefing in Destiny when somebody doesn't know how to turn a public event heroic.
Or choose not to when other people are heroicing it.
Yeah, right. I got a brand new weapon that can take out this boss that spawns in two hits. And I'm going to do that just to keep you from turning it heroic. I'm talking of those on Titan who kill the tank with their whisper so fast. I haven't run into a lot of it, to be honest with you. I really haven't.
In that public event on the moon, it just happened last night to me.
So, I don't know. I think they'll find ways. They've already got ways where the party, everybody gets their own stuff when they're in a party. You know what I'm saying? You see something on the ground, they pick up their go. It's not shared between the group. Everybody gets their thing. So, I don't know. We'll see how they handle that. They say it's a long way off from release, though.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, we'll see. We don't have a lot of time, especially since I want to thank Sarah for driving all the way down here and
being on
the show.
Thank you, Sarah.
We don't need to have that big of a gap in between visits.
Yes.
Please?
I will do my best.
Yeah, try and... Same with you, Matt. We don't need to have this big of a gap in between visits.
Work has been... You know, I've been working with the Hope Hole Mafia too much.
Yeah. Well, thanks everybody for joining us in the chat room and everybody listening on the stream. We really appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net. You know the drill. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to us on YouTube and on Twitch as well. Join our Discord, which is mainly just Destiny 2 clan, so Lethal Migraine will never be in there. We appreciate everybody who shows up each week. Thank you so much. Have a great one. We'll see you next Saturday. Here's music from Trine 4. It is the main theme for it. We'll be back next week. Well, I don't know. You?
I don't know.
I know you got a thing. So, anyway, see you next week.